At 8:22, this is KERA News. I'm Sam Baker. The mayor of Dallas this week is on a trade mission to China and South Korea. Mike Rawlings will join local business leaders, officials from DFW Airport, local chambers of commerce, and visitors bureaus to meet with their counterparts in Shanghai and Seoul. They'll showcase the benefits of operating in the DFW area. They'll also highlight growing economic ties between North Texas and leading Asian cities. Total bilateral trade with China accounts for more than 10% of our state's trade with foreign countries. 19 Korean-owned companies operate significant facilities in the Dallas and Fort Worth region. Congress has until March to pass legislation on the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program before it expires. DACA gives work permits to those who were brought into the country illegally as children. Yesterday on WFAA's Inside Texas Politics, board member Miguel Solis said an end to DACA could affect a number of teachers in the Dallas school district.
We're talking about nearly 100 teachers in Dallas ISD. I mean, just multiply that by, let's say, conservatively, 25 students. That's thousands of students that potentially now run the risk of not having the teacher they need.
Texas could lose 2,000 teachers who have DACA protection. The state has the second largest number of DACA recipients in the country. Irving-based Luminant Energy will close three coal-fired power plants early next year, including one near Corsicana. The closures mean layoffs for about 650 people. According to the Dallas Morning News, the three plants account for 12% of the state's coal power plant capacity. Luminant officials say the decision is due to low prices for natural gas and an increase in renewable energy. Coal has the second largest share of the state's power generation capacity, trailing natural gas. The Luminant plant closures could push wind energy into second place. ERCOT still needs to sign off on the closure. The rate of kidney stone disease has nearly doubled over the last 15 years. It now affects 1 in 9 Americans. UT Southwestern Medical Center is taking part in clinical trials into prevention and treatment of kidney stones, starting with how to get patients to drink more water. Dr. Naeem Maalouf explained to me why that's easier said than done. What is a kidney stone and what causes them?
So a kidney stone is a hard aggregate of material in the kidney that's made of minerals and salts. It generally can block the flow of urine from the kidney to the ureter and bladder, and that could cause significant pain to patients.
Why does that even happen at all?
So there are different types of kidney stones, and each type could be caused by different etiologies. Dehydration is one common finding in many kidney stones, but excess of certain materials can lead to kidney stones, and lack of inhibitors can lead to kidney stones.
Now, kidney stone disease has increased over the last 15 years. Do we know why that is?
We know that there are probably several reasons. Mm-hmm. One of them is kidney stones that is associated with obesity and diabetes. And with the rise in the prevalence of those two conditions, there is an increase in kidney stones. And our diet has changed to include more sodium and more protein, and that predisposes. We're doing more imaging studies, and that can detect asymptomatic kidney stones. But that does not seem to be a major contributor.
Now, UT Southwestern is involved in clinical trials regarding kidney stone disease. What brought this on?
There are many ways to prevent kidney stones, but one of the more important ones is to maintain a high fluid intake, because by drinking more fluids, you can maintain your urine dilute and prevent kidney stones. What we have noticed, though, is many patients are not able to maintain high fluid intake, water intake. And there are many reasons. One of them is they tend to forget, or they may be in occupations that prevent them from taking bathroom breaks. So one trial that we are launching is to find out whether we can change behavior to improve fluid intake.
Are we talking about people who may have a kidney stone for the first time, or are we talking about people for whom this is a recurring problem?
So we're looking at patients who've had a kidney stone recently in the last 3 years. The people who have recurrent kidney stones are more likely to benefit. But for this specific trial, we're looking at first-time stone former and recurrent stone formers.
And what are you looking at as ways to encourage people to consume more liquid?
Yeah, we're looking at three strategies at the same time. One is meeting with a health coach to identify barriers to increase fluid intake. Another one is using smart water bottles and smartphone applications, because we have a smart bottle that could track fluid intake and can give feedback to the patients through messages on their cell phones. And then finally, we're using for a short period of time financial rewards, modest financial rewards, to change behavior for and establish a new behavior. We will taper those very quickly, but it may help some patients to increase their fluid intake.
How much water are we talking about?
It will depend on each patient, but it's close to 100 ounces of water a day.
I mean, I'm thinking like a can of soda or something. It's like 12 ounces or something. So
eight of those.
That is a lot.
But that has been shown to prevent kidney stone recurrence, and some patients find it difficult to maintain.
Do we all need to drink that much water?
Not everybody needs to drink that much water.
Mm-hmm.
But those patients with kidney stones and low urine volume to start with are the ones who would benefit from that.
Who's prone to having kidney stones?
People who sweat a lot, people who exercise quite a bit and sweat a lot, or work outdoors in construction in the summer in Dallas. That's a risk factor, for example, because sweating makes the urine more concentrated. That predisposes to kidney stones. High protein and high salt intake are another big.
So again, watching the diet.
Correct.
But the bottom line here, it seems, is that kidney stones can be prevented.
In many, many patients, it can be prevented with lifestyle measures such as fluid and diet changes. Some patients need medications, but it's not the general kidney stone former.
So is this something we could start working on with people, maybe as children on up, trying to establish good habits that could prevent this?
Yes, definitely. That will help if we can establish good dietary intake from childhood. That will likely prevent kidney stone formation in later life.
Dr. Maloof, thank you for being with me.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Naeem Maloof is an associate professor at UT Southwestern, specializing in mineral metabolism. And the forecast, a high near 75 expected today under sunny skies, overnight low near 47. It's 50 degrees now in Dallas, 49 in Fort Worth.